Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a blogger, podcaster, voracious reader, and an entrepreneur. Now, my guest hasn't always been running her own business and doing her own thing, but back in 2003, her husband horrifically passed away at just 32 years old. Being widowed and with a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, it drove my guest to find something she could do from home. She also wanted to set an example for her children and show that they could pursue what made them happy and they could do what they loved for a living. She then founded WP Chick, a blog dedicated to helping people use WordPress to grow their businesses. She has since expanded the brand into a podcast, multiple products, and a consulting business. Now, let's hack Kim Doyle. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, GoToWebinar. When you are trying to create demand for your business, you need a cost-effective way to reach your target audience and generate qualified leads for your sales team. With GoToWebinar, you can present to hundreds with confidence. Whether you are a startup or a company operating worldwide, GoToWebinar can help you connect, captivate, and convert your target audience. Pick a compelling topic, select your audience, and schedule your event. With automated emails, custom branding, and practice sessions, GoToWebinar makes getting ready easy. When your event is live, keep attendees engaged with interactive polls, live chat, and you can respond to feedback in real time. And once your event is over, you're only a click away from reporting on registration, attendance, and performance metrics of your event. GoToWebinar enables marketers like you to easily reach your target audience and turn leads into customers. Get started with GoToWebinar today to connect and convert. Visit GoToWebinar.com to start your 30-day free trial. That's GoToWebinar.com. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Kim. Welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me here. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun, I think.
You haven't even asked me a question. I'm laughing, so.
All right, nice. All right, Kim, let's do this. Kim, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
It's a really simple phrase, and I live by this mantra, and it is just show up. You know, I have found that I wrote a post one time, and it was how fake it till you make it is ass backwards. And for me, it's like, be where you are, be who you are, and show up. And sometimes that means, for me, it's show up and do the work. Other times it's like, I'm fried. I need to step away because I'm showing up for myself. So it kind of covers, you know, everything in my life. My business and me are sort of one. So it's just show up. Just show up wherever you're at and own it.
So why are you against fake it till you make it? What if you just don't know what you're doing at first? Should you not jump into that arena?
Well, you know what? The fake it till you make it, it's not so much about not knowing. But my point is more to, hey, if you're struggling, it's okay to share that. If you share the wins, but share the frustrations too. And there's such a connection piece that happens when you say, great example, like launched a course last year with a friend. The content was great. We hadn't really done enough of a marketing plan. And so it was, a $1,500 ad spend for not a lot of return on that. And so it was something that instead of faking it till I make it, meaning I'm not going to pretend it's a big success. And I guess that would apply more to lying, but it was more, it's okay to share that it didn't work is my point. So it's more about, sharing where you're at. And a lot of people don't want to see that other side. And here, a quick example, I did a movie back in like 2010. I'm not a movie maker, but I had this brilliant idea that I was going to go interview 14 other online women. And, some are, 7-figure earners. And from that experience, it was like, I got this taste of an online persona and a real life person. And I was like, God, there was a huge disconnect for a couple of those people. And it was disappointing. And I was like, I would connect with you and resonate with you so much more if who you are here is who you are here. So that's what I mean about the fake it till you make it. It's like, don't try to be something that you're not yet. And you're going to build a much stronger audience and a bigger connection with people if you simply show up where you are.
Nice. It's not subtle. It seems subtle at first, but it's really drastic change of like mentality towards that. And it's true. But you said you made a movie in 2014?
2010.
2010. Still.
It was called Women in Business 2.0. You can't buy it right now. But I'll tell you what, that was a huge learning lesson for me. It was timely, costly. And I think my reasons behind it, I wanted to share this message because I don't know that I would say that. I guess I'm kind of in the internet marketing space, but there's a ton of men there. And I was like, there are a lot of women doing cool things online. But I think some of the women that I had in the film were more names as opposed to like a general, real, raw, authentic connection that I wanted to dig a little bit deeper, which I have since learned, you know. So, and that movie, it was just, I'm not a filmmaker, but it was something that I got this bee in my bonnet. And I was doing a website actually for some filmmakers. And I'm like, hey, I have this idea. And they were like, great. We kind of did a barter. And then a week before I'm going down to Southern California I've got 10 days of interviews lined up. And some women flew out to me. So that was great. The guy's like, I'm losing my house. I can't go with you. I was like, what? So I quickly became a filmmaker. He showed me how to use the equipment and I went and did it.
Wow. And So this is interesting. I'm going to selfishly dive into this because I want to understand this better myself. But this idea of how you said you had some people that were maybe more of a name and it was kind of incongruent with who they sort of portrayed and how you would have liked them more. And then the idea of like doing things and making the mistake, but sharing that mistakes with people, I find it really hard to share those mistakes. I mean, I don't cover them up, but I don't like write those like 3,000 word blog posts that people write about all their trials and tribulations. I don't know why I have a struggle with that, but I still think that I'm really congruent with who I portray because I also don't have any clue how I would possibly create this false sense of celebrity or like this like false brand, you know what I mean? And portray that.
Yeah.
So how do we, somebody starting out, how do you sort of walk that line where you're trying to get an audience and a following, and so it needs some sort of quote unquote celebrity maybe to it, but also if you're not good at sharing those mistakes always, like not cover them up, but what do you do? How do you branch or bridge that gap?
Yeah, a lot of questions there. Very good.
I'm really struggling with this myself. Sorry, I wasn't supposed to go.
Well, no, you know what? I look at, why do you think Brené Brown is this like cultural phenomenon? Why are people clinging to this idea that we're sick and tired of carrying shame through our lives? That vulnerability has become, you know, sort of the it word. And I don't, it's like overused words are overused because they resonate. So it is what it is. But yeah, you know, I look at that. And so for me, it was very similar. It was baby stepping my way into it. And it's totally been a journey. And what it was for me was my podcast also, because it's a lot easier to have this conversation and to be sharing something when you feel like you're just talking one-on-one. It's like when you put it down in a post for some reason, even though, you know, I write show notes or whatnot, but it's like when you put it down in a post, it feels really permanent for some reason, even though, you know, it's six of one. But so it's like little teeny tiny steps. And so it's like, you have to be very clear on who you are and how you want to show up with your brand. And so for me, like I am my brand. I'm not this corporate agency that I have to portray in one way, right? And it's interesting because a lot of the women that sort of paved the way in this space initially, it was this very glitzy persona. Like, I'm never going to wear a pair of heels on stage. I'd love to speak, but I'm going to be up there in jeans and nice shoes. It's who I am, right? But I think that what happened is too many women tried to emulate that. And again, this is just in the space and my experience of that. And there was such a disconnect. And so once you start showing up a little bit and simply saying, yeah, this doesn't work for me, or here's a great example. I look at a lot of, I call them sort of old school marketers who show up online and they only share their own stuff. And there's this fear behind that, right? Of, well, if I share somebody else that, you know, I'm not up here and you're not down here, that sort of guru mentality. And it was those little tiny things of taking a stance. Here's a great example. I'll never forget one of the first posts, because like how controversial can you get with WordPress, right? Although the fact that there's a hashtag WP drama says it enough in and of itself. But you know, it's like I did a post and it was note to a snarky reader because I was fed up. Somebody kept emailing me anonymously about using WordPress, right? And that's funny that we had this conversation before the call. But, and I just, it was, I didn't know any better and had been in communication with WordPress, but it was like every time I tried to respond to this person, it was a bad email, right? And I'm like, if you're not going to have the backbone to talk directly to me, first, you don't need to be a jerk about this. So I did this public post. I'm like, here's the deal. You know, if you're going to, and so I took a stance and it resonated with people. And I started getting that feedback. And I always go back to this Seth Godin quote I heard at Infusionsoft conference a few years ago. And he said, be willing to be a category of one. And so it struck such a nerve in me that I was like, okay, again, I don't have the energy to be argumentative online. It's just not who I am. But if there's something that doesn't work for me, I'm going to take a stance. And when you start showing up just genuinely with having an opinion or sharing a thought or saying you were frustrated, people cling to that. I think that everyone is craving that. Okay, good. I don't have to do it that way, or I don't have to show up like that. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Be willing to be a category of one. I love that. Wow.
He's so quotable.
How can, like, everything comes out of his mouth is like, there's a quote, there's a quote. Jeez,
right? Man. I'm like, he's just like magic.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a book he did, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's called It's My Turn, or It's My Turn Now, and it's always, right?
What to do when it's your turn.
What to do when it's your turn. Thank you. And it was like, he is this brilliant man who advocates you get to do it the way you want to do it. And it's like, get people still have a hard time doing that.
What to do when it's your turn. Oddly enough, maybe not oddly enough, but I'm looking over at my bookshelf right now in my office. I see 10 copies of that book right now. I'll give away like 5 copies if you email me. If you want a copy of that book, I'm going to send you a copy just because it happened to come up in conversation right now. Seth Godin's latest book. It's brilliant. It's like a coffee table book. It's really cool.
Big pictures. It's like the whole book is laid out like, you know, like a shareable social media photo.
Totally. Yeah. So John at Hack the Entrepreneur, 5 copies to whoever. Well, 1 copy to each of you. To 5 different ones of you. Come on, that's semantics here, folks. All right. So your one thing, which you just rounded up again on, which was the just showing up. That's your one thing. Now, every expert talks about the 80-20 rule in business. So Kim, you're supposed to do 20% and then you get 80% of the results. You're supposed to only do what you're good at. You're supposed to delegate the rest. Kim, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Systems, details. I hate it. I hate spreadsheets. I hate, you know, anything that is sort of left brain, I guess we would say. I've got a real creative bent to me. And so I hire people to do those things. And I keep stepping into it, but it's like, you know, I actually hired somebody recently to help me with some Facebook ad campaigns, and watching the way he modeled, where he literally went through every step of the day of what am I doing and how can I start sending that to someone else. And so, yeah, I'm not the systems person.
It's amazing when people can do that. Do you think that it's essential, though, in business to know, to have systems and have that detail oriented?
Well, this is going to sound kind of esoteric. I do, if you believe it's important, right? So meaning, I think there are some people that they don't worry about it and they have this innate sort of expectation that it's going to work out no matter what. But for myself, I do much better when I get a really solid foundation and I've gone through it and understand it, and then I can pass it off. You know, I don't like not knowing. I really think the only way to scale and grow personally is to have those systems in place. And because I know what's that quote, you know, that you can't grow something if you don't measure it or whatever. But when you take a look at stuff, it's also the benefit of looking at that data and understanding systems is where, here's a great example. So one of the things that we do is a podcasting done for you thing. And so my project manager and I had mapped out this like 17 piece onboarding process, right? Like every single step of the way and the emails and the communication. And so we did that, but then we went through it and we're like, wow, this is way too involved. You know, so now having gone through that, like she can run it and I don't have to be involved in that, but I had to go through it to get there. I don't know if I answered your question.
You totally did. Yeah. Okay. You totally did, because you do. What did you say that you, if you believe that they are important, then they are.
Right.
And you don't just, and it's true, just because you're not good at it doesn't mean that it's not important in your business. And you've just been self-aware enough to realize your weakness in it, but delegate it out to somebody else.
Well, yeah. And anytime I find myself getting pissed or feeling resentful that I'm doing something, I'm all note to self, hire someone else. And it takes, you know, but it takes time to get there too. Right. And I look at, and I've said this so many times that I'm hitting my 8th year in business. And I would say the first 5 years were slow because I didn't show up as myself. And it was at year 5 when I launched the podcast and I was like, you know, this massive Skype frustration conversation with a friend. I'm like, that is it. If it's not fun, I'm not doing it. I'm going to choose who I want to work with. And so I had this little hyper moment and then things really started shifting.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you have a project manager now and you talked like podcasting sort of as a service, like done for you. You have a lot of different products and services and offerings on your site. So this is going to be insightful, I think. I want to talk projects, like as a loose term. You can take that as whether a full new offering or just a tweak, but something that you decide is worth your time and energy. I would love to know the process you go through, either personally, Kim, when a new idea comes to you or comes across your inbox. So whether personally or if it's within the business, but if it's an internal process or if you have a written process, I want to know what you do to decide when a project is worth your time, energy, and resources.
This has actually evolved. And I think it's the beauty of getting a little bit older and understanding my own personal processes. Because again, you know, and I'm sure for you, it's like the me and the business are sort of one. I don't necessarily have like compartments in my life. So like here's a great example of podcasting. Let's say, you know, I was running my podcast for a couple of years and somebody had said, oh, why don't you do this? And I was like, I'm not the audio technical genius, right? And I don't ever want to be a master at mixers. I simply don't. But what it's done for my business and the relationships, but my process was like, I sort of start visiting something and then I look at it. Maybe I'll start writing about it or I start kind of communicating with people, but I really sit on things. I don't massively pull the trigger initially when an idea hits, because for me, like most entrepreneurs, right, ideas are not hard to come by. And so I'll kind of start playing with a project. And again, like I've got a team in place. So, I mean, I've got designers and developers, so I could get a site up tomorrow. That's fine. But, you know, that's that sort of distraction place. So I've learned to sit with things. So like this just show up as an example. I do that through my site too. And it was something that it kept coming back to me. It kept coming back to me. And I'd had people say, oh, why don't you do training or membership site? And I was like, I don't want to do some huge, massive course. What can I commit to where I can provide the most value? And so I sit with things for a while. And then when I decide that, and I know I'm not being very succinct here, but if I make that decision, then I put it out there publicly. So I'll announce a webinar. I will email my list. I'll share something socially because that public accountability, it's like, then it's go time. Right. And so for me, I really sit with something and I play with it a little bit. Like, how's this going to look or what's it going to, how can I commit to this? Plus I have all these other things going on. So I really let it percolate, I guess is the best way to explain it. And I've simply learned to trust myself because every single time I've done something in business where one, I'm doing it because I think it's going to bring in the income I want, or there appears to be a market need and I do it, I just go for it, I regret it.
How come you regret it? Because it doesn't work out the way you expected?
Because I didn't listen to myself. You know, I didn't let it evolve. You know, there's such a benefit to letting things organically happen. And I don't mean that you don't take action. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, it's like, you know, like, let me ask you this. Like, has there been a time where you've done something and you look back and you knew you had a niggly feeling about it and you didn't trust that, you know? And so that's kind of what I mean, the regret that do what's right. And it's just a matter sometimes for me, I'm one of those people, something comes across my desk. It's like, okay, sit with this for 24 hours. You don't need to make a decision right now because I'm sort of that little kid at Christmas, like, oh my God, this is awesome. This looks great. And next thing you know, I've got like 50 JVZoo products. I'm like, I don't have time for this.
Right. But even if you sit with it, even if you let it percolate, even no matter how much you feel inside that this is it, and this is the right thing to do, this is the right project to put my time, energy, and resources into, you're going to set up a metric to like success that's going to tell you whether it worked or not. Still, no matter how much effort and planning we put into some things, sometimes they just aren't right for the market and they just don't work, right? And then as entrepreneurs, but just even more importantly, as human beings, it's one of our greatest struggles is that fear of being wrong, making a mistake and completely failing, especially when you have a team now that you've you've been like, I planned this out. It all makes sense. It's percolated. This is what we're going to do. And it's going to work in this way. You try it and it completely falls on its face. So Kim, could you tell me when that happens to you, how do you find like it within you to sort of pick yourself up and keep going, not let it sidetrack you and sideswipe you for a week or two or a month at a time? And how do you still have the confidence to make these big decisions and decide on projects?
Yeah, well, owning it is the first thing. And I learned this years ago. I used to be in retail management and it was the most refreshing lesson I'd had in life where something to do with, you know, I was opening the store. We had like 80 employees to hire to open this building. And so we're bringing different people on to sort of management positions. And I offered a salary higher than I think I was supposed to. And I was like, oh. And so I literally was like, girl, suck it up. And I just called my boss. I said, hey, this is what happened. This is what I told her. I misconstrued this or whatever, but this is what I committed to. So totally my fault. And he was like, okay, well, don't do it again. But no big deal. And it was like, you know, we caused such chaos in our minds with our stories. And it was so much easier to say, I screwed this up. This didn't work. And because the amount of energy that gets wasted. So the biggest thing is owning it. Simply own it. And it's like next, favorite four-letter word is next. And I have to tell you, John, this is going to sound really egotistical maybe, but every single time I have taken the time to trust myself and listen to it and detach from the outcome, it works. So maybe, you know, as an example, that course I did with a friend, it was selling with WordPress and helping people do, you know, and again, this is not up for sale on the site, but how to walk through and select the right e-commerce platform. And it was a great course, but I don't want to do that necessarily how to with WordPress anymore. It was great when I was growing my business. And in my gut, I knew, but I felt like I'd committed to somebody and the quality is there, but I was like, not really what I want to do anymore. And I think that's part of it. So the energy attached to that project kind of set it up for failure. I know this sounds esoteric, but from the get-go, like just show up. That thing, you know, doing community, it was like, I believe in that message so strongly that it's like, okay, did one webinar, 20 people, 7 sign up, not a bad conversion. I didn't jump at it. I'm like, let's let it grow. Let's let it evolve. I'm not married to the outcome. And I'll tell you, that's really hard when you're launching a business, you're growing something and you need the money. You need the money. So you have to look at what can I do that is cash flow generating and what can I do that is going to help my soul and me grow and show up in a way that I want to move through the world. And so like my company, we still do WordPress websites all the time. And you know, anybody that's ever done that gets like, I don't want to do websites anymore. It gets done. When you're not a trained developer and you fall into it, but it's like, wait a minute, stop. Like, what's the best value I can provide? I've got a team to do this. This is cash flow. This allows me to do this. Sorry if that was a really roundabout answer.
No, that was an excellent answer. I loved it. And twice now you've apologized for being esoteric, but anyone who's listening is totally cool with esoteric at this point, because otherwise they would go to like a how-to podcast, but we're here just trying to
maybe
get
listening to John Ramsey or something.
Yeah, we're here just trying to get into your head, so that involves being like that. But I love this idea of detaching from the outcome. So does this mean like when you go into an idea that it's kind of exists on its own, and if it fails then it's not you that's failing? Is that what you mean? Is that like what you're trying to get at?
I think in terms of, you know, we talk a lot about the why behind things. And when you believe in something, detaching from the outcome, and I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, the outcome is going to be financially based, right? And so I had a mentor who has dropped so many knowledge bombs on me, but she said, Kim, if you're going to play the what if game, you have to play it on both sides. So you don't get to do, because we have a tendency to do, I don't know if you've ever heard this term, but what if down thinking, well, what if this doesn't work? And I need to pay the bills and stuff. And that energy around something you're putting out in the world is going to slap you in the face every time. But so, and then it's like, well, what if this blows up? What if this is phenomenal? What if, you know? And so when you detach from the outcome and you do it for the right reasons. So great example, the podcasting, I had no idea where it was going to take me. I just wanted to do it. I needed to show up in my business in a way I didn't expect. I just wanted to have fun. I needed to bring more fun into the day-to-day with what I was doing. And so I had zero expectations, and I'm not saying you don't do that in business, but it was freeing. So when you look at a project or how you're, you know, going to sell to your customers or the services you're going to offer. Great example. So I just hired this guy for Facebook training, right? Not training, but he has actually an agency where they run stuff. And then he has sort of this training where they do all the research, the target market, they do your initial ad copy, they set everything up. And I've done some Facebook ads, but everything he does is database, right? And I've bought courses and I've done enough Facebook advertising, but I was like, I just told you, right? I hate systems and spreadsheets. So to me, looking at that and then modeling the fact that his goal is to get a return for his client's investment. And so that perspective made me look at how I work with people. And so detaching from that price point, and when my why is to make it the best experience for the client, instead of, you know, the internet marketing space is just, will do your head in with high ticket sales and, you know, $10,000 coaching. And you're like, yeah, but there's nothing I can touch. Like, where's the tangibility? And there's a time and place for esoteric, right? Or the intangibles. But when you're looking at scaling and growing a business, you need that data. As much as I hate doing it, like my goal is to get these cranking and running, and then I will hire his agency to run it because I don't want to do that. I want to create content. But so, you know, detaching from this is going to be the thing. Like when I did that movie, I thought it was going to bring in six figures. I had all these big names. They had huge audiences. And how many of those women didn't even promote it? And I was like, wow, wow. And again, the film was good, but I was like, it was this attitude of, I'm going to give you the honor of speaking to me instead of saying, what's the good I can put in the world? And so like, if I were to redo that as an example, if I were to redo a movie today, which I've actually thought of since my daughter is now a film major in school, but I've thought about, there are so many people we can connect with online that are doing phenomenal things that it's like, who makes my heart sing? Who is doing something and moving through the world in a way that makes me say, God, I can't wait to get their email, or, you know, that you simply feel good when you see their name in your inbox or what, you know, whatever they're doing. So when you detach from the outcome of something, it's freeing. It's like all of a sudden you're not like, well, this has to do $10,000 tomorrow. And again, I'm not negating the fact that when you need the money, it's a really tricky path to walk to get to that space. But I've probably worked harder on the mindset than the business.
Yeah. And now twice you've mentioned this Facebook ad genius. Mm-hmm. Is he a secret weapon, or are we going to find out?
Oh my God. No, it's Jason Hornung, and it's Hornung. And I have to tell you, John, I've told people, and I spent a lot of money on a high-end mastermind the last couple of years, and they were a great group of people, and it was a great growing experience for me to be around people who are like, yeah, I did 100 grand on a webinar. It's like, what? You know, I sold 7 spots for $37. But so that was great. But then I hit a point where I was at, and I was like, I know how I want to move the world. I like creating content. I'm in this for the marathon, right? This is a long haul. And so I kept seeing Jason's stuff, and we had connected actually through this mastermind. And so I'm like, Jason, I want to interview you for the podcast. Oh, I know what it was. I'm sorry. A client, Jason referred a web client to me. And so I talked to him, and his model for this sort of done with you is, you know, you get all access to his training. And I mean, details, he goes into such great detail. And then there's a 2-day workshop. So I just went to Madison, Wisconsin, which was really cold compared to Northern California. And I spent 2 days with him, and it was like drinking from a fire hose. But the beauty of it, I did a testimonial, and I haven't even gotten results on the ads yet, but we launched the campaigns last week. And the beauty of it was that I said, Jason, in 8 years, this is absolutely the best money I have spent investing in my business ever, simply because to sit there and have someone, they create all your KPIs for you, which when he asked me that, I was like, I don't really have any. So, I mean, I know what my cost per click should be, my cost per lead, my cost per acquisition. For this price point, I'll never pay this. And I gave him all of the collateral that I had created for this offer. I got a 20-minute video with a complete whiteboard map of my funnel. He said, Kim, this is why your video wasn't converting. These are the 4 points. He has studied direct response marketing and like advertisers, like print copy advertisers, right? And that's the kind of stuff that it's very easy to feel like it's not work. I need to be doing something on the computer. But, you know, are you familiar with, you probably are, CoSchedule?
CoSchedule is, I know the name.
Yeah, it's an editorial calendar and social media sharing tool for WordPress, right? And
is it a plugin?
Yeah, it's a plugin. It's a web app, and you actually don't even need WordPress, which is new. But what I love about it is they have this free headline analyzer. And so I've started running all my headlines through CoSchedule, and it was watching that and then sitting and spending, you know, 2 days with Jason where, you know, he explains to me why he wrote the copy the way he did, who is my audience, and who are we putting this in front of, and what speaks to them. So, you know, podcasting, as you well know, is not something you, like, we can create KPIs for our clients and say, well, here's the goal of downloads, da, 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 da. But so many of the outcome from podcasting, you can't even predict the relationships, the connections, the experience, like so many things come from that. Or, I mean, I've gotten, you know, coaching clients or web clients simply because of how I show up on the podcast. My favorite tweet ever, and I just have to share this, was, I think Kim Doyle would be fun to have a pint with. And I was like, I would be, you know, but the point is, it's like, it's a genuine connection. And so for me to watch someone who is saying, hey, my goal is just to provide value for clients. He summed this up beautifully for me. And he said, can I swear on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not gonna drop the F-bomb, but he just said, you know, when I see people bragging about click-through rates or how many leads in your inbox, he said, my bullshit meter goes up because people who are serving their clients talk about the money they're making their clients. And it was like, it sounds so obvious, but we get caught up in the day-to-day. So, you know, when you look at things, you know, there may be a podcast on medical equipment, okay? And they may only get 400 downloads a month, but they're probably really, really targeted downloads. And so that's a great connection and a great way to build that relationship with your potential customer, because people want, you know, that we want to do business with people we like, know, and trust. And so there's that element there. So no, Jason, he set the bar really high for me, and he was less than half the cost of this mastermind. And so I actually just left the mastermind, and great people, wonderful experience. And it was just time for me to move on. But I told him, I said, I feel like I got a 2-for-1 because I got all this, you know, structure and foundation for doing solid paid per click through Facebook, because everything is so data driven. He literally will tell you, okay, don't worry if your cost per click is too high, because let's look at the back end. And if your cost per click is higher, you're going to get a cost per acquisition is going to be way lower, and it's going to be a higher quality. And it's just like, what? But then I got this other side to see somebody in my space who is running a great service business with integrity and just providing massive value. And it was refreshing. Like, I'm on a high after 2 days in Madison, Wisconsin.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Jason Hornung. Wow. That's really cool. And Facebook is such, I don't know, it's something that a lot of people struggle with, a lot of businesses struggle with. So he's providing a really, really, really useful service.
Well, and to teach you how to do that, right? I mean, I think anybody that's willing to say, you know, I look back at the first post I ever wrote on the WordPress chick, and I was like, okay, that's like a robot who wrote that. You know, there's no images, there's no links, there's no personality. But again, that's how we learn, right? And so where I know the growth, and so for me to do, say, a webinar with my audience, just to say, you guys, this is how I've started creating a really solid content strategy. And it's because of the doing and the learning and all of that. But it's to get in there and dive, right? So to see Jason explain to us how to get into your client's head, and by phrasing something, here's an example. I wrote a post on the site, and it was content formatting plugins. No, that wasn't it. It was 11 ways podcasting will explode your business. And in the headline analyzer, I originally had done the headline that said 11 ways podcasting has exploded my business. Well, as soon as I changed it to your business, it went up from like a 65 to a 71, which was like an A or something. And I thought, God, that is such an obvious thing, right? People don't want to hear about you. They want to hear about themselves, or they want you to solve their problems. And I simply didn't take the time as I was learning and growing to really, like, I kept saying to myself, copywriting sucks. I'm not good at it. And it's like, well, this is actually kind of fun when you start playing with it. So Jason just was a brilliant example of getting in there and really providing the value.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a great takeaway from headlines for sure. It's not, and it's, that's really detaching yourself from the outcome, even is detaching yourself from what you're creating. It's not for you. It's not about you. It's about your audience and what you can provide them.
Yeah. So, and it's like, when you get those, sorry, really quick, when you'll start getting feedback, the more you talk to people about themselves, it's like, the more they say, thank you, this is just what I needed, or, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, It sounds so, I guess it's altruistic, the right word, where you're like, wow, I made somebody feel good or I helped somebody, but it's true.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not necessarily like altruistic because, I mean, you know that it's working better and it's educating them in a better way because it's about them, not about you.
Right. And then you can measure it because of traffic and shares and all those things that we need, right, in our businesses to get the data. I mean, like you, like when we talked last time, you said, I would only start an internet business today. Like, we can measure everything and its effectiveness, right? So it's like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know how people do it with offline businesses. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to.
Not even kind of curious.
That's not for me. No, exactly. All right, Kim, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up with one last question for you. This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So you've been in business for 8 years. I think you said around year five where you really sort of figured it out. And now you've learned to detach yourself from the outcomes. But as entrepreneurs, right, as dreamers, we tend to always project our success into the future and in front of us, meaning that no matter what goal you set in 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, right before you hit that goal, you set loftier goals into the future. And like the horizon, as you walk towards it, you never quite get there, which leaves us in this gap where we never see ourselves as successful, no matter what we accomplish in business. Kim, I would love it if you would stop right now, turn around and look behind you. Look at the past 8 years, where you've come, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and tell me how you feel about your entrepreneurial journey until today.
Proud. Totally proud. I went against the grain when I started this. Quick is, you know, I was widowed in 2003. I had a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. And so for me to start this, it was 2008. And, you know, nobody was like, what are you doing? Nobody got what I was doing or why I needed to do it. But without a doubt, I was, you know, I said to my mom, I'll never forget, I'm willing to walk away from this house to make this happen. Because how I feel in my life, I've felt miserable in jobs. I have felt the depths of despair in my personal life. And to be on the other side of that, it's like, damn, girl, you got this.
Wow. That's a beautiful answer. And it's so true. And without obviously the dramatic things that sometimes need to happen for that, I think that it does. I mean, that's obviously what it took for you to now step up. And if you can overcome that, then obviously business is, you got it. You got this.
Yeah. That's awesome. Life is too short, right?
It is.
The best way to overcome those things is to make the most of the life you were given.
Exactly. Well said. Well said. All right, Kim, we've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener where to find out more about you and your business, please?
Yep. The best place is my website is thewpchick.com. Best place. And most of my social profiles are either WPchick or Kim Doyle, D-O-Y-A-L. But yeah, thewpchick.com is where you can connect, listen to the podcast, read anything you need.
Excellent. If you are driving or working out or whatever you happen to be doing right now, I will link to this in the show notes, thewpchick.com. Jason Hornung, I'll track him down. What to Do When It's Your Turn by Seth Godin. There's 5 copies available to 5 people who email me. Also, I wish I could link to Women in Business 2.0, but apparently it's not available right now. I will track down a post called Note to a Snarky Reader that Kim mentioned, and also co-schedule the web app so you can start tracking your headlines as well. And then Kim on social media, I will find her. And that's all there for you when you get a chance. So Kim, thank you once again so much for stopping by. Thank you for taking the time. And please keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much, Sean. I had a blast. I always do when I talk to you. The 2 times, right? But I've loved every minute.
Me too.
Kim, thank you so much for joining me. That was a lot of fun. And I hope you out there listening enjoyed that as much as I did. We went some interesting places that I wasn't expecting to go with Kim. And the reason Kim and I had kind of hit it off, I was on her show and I had never spoken to her before. And she asked me to be on her show and I was, and we kind of just hit it off. And so it was one of those conversations where at the end I was like, you got to be on my show because you have a cool story. And really, I really dig Kim's perspective on business and in life. So I'm glad she decided to join me. So we've reached the point of the show where I have to go back. I have to go back and I have to listen to what Kim said. And I have to find something because always at this point, this is where we're looking, right? So I went back and I looked through. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots I had to go back and listen to. So I went back and the second time through, I got it down to 3. Then there was 2 and then there was 1. There was one thing that Kim said that absolutely just stood right out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I didn't jump at it. I'm like, let's let it grow. Let's let it evolve. I'm going to keep it. I'm not married to the outcome. And I'll tell you, that's really hard when you're launching a business, you're growing something and you need the money. You need the money. So you have to look at what can I do that is cash flow generating and what can I do that is going to help my soul and me grow and show up in a way that I want to move through the world. And so like my company, we still do WordPress websites all the time. And you know, anybody that's ever done that gets like, I don't want to do websites anymore. It gets done when you're not a trained developer and you fall into it. But it's like, wait a minute, stop. Like, what's the best value I can provide? I've got a team to do this. This is cash flow. This allows me to do this.
And that's the hack. Kim, this, I really, really, really like this. I'm really happy you said this because this is something that we fall into as entrepreneurs who have been at this game for years and entrepreneurs who are just getting started. We're independent. We have independent businesses. We have independent sort of streaks within us, probably personally, that drives us to do these things. And sometimes it's a sticking point when it comes time to doing the work that needs to get done right now to generate cash flow. And cash flow is essential. Without cash flow and without generation of revenue, you don't have a business. It just doesn't work. And sometimes, like Kim says with doing the WordPress sites, she wanted to get out of it, but she has the team. She can do it. She gets requests from people, and it's something she's good at, and she needs to do it to generate the cash. And you should do it. If that's what you were in the business to do and that's what you're set up to do and that's what you're good at, know that every part of your business, no matter how independent that business is, no matter how much that business is just you, there's still parts of that business that you're not going to absolutely love, perhaps, that aren't the most amazing thing to do all the time. There's still work to do in a business. That work is usually stuff that isn't always the coolest, the shiniest, the funnest, and all the glamour that you think about running a business. That being said, you can also choose to do work at the same time or on other days or in another part of the calendar that, as Kim states, that feeds the soul. And you should, because that's why we're ultimately doing it. We're doing it to do the work that matters to us, to the world, to our market. And we have to stay focused on that. But that doesn't mean that you have to be the starving artist that doesn't make any money until hopefully the world catches on about the work that you love to do. Sometimes you just have to generate cash flow and keep the lights on and keep the servers paid for. Those kinds of things need to be done, and it's essential. And it's a good thing to get your head around this, that when your business becomes sort of a struggle the day to day, it's like, oh, this is just a lot of work right now. Know that happens to all of us at different points in our day, at different points in our week, at different points in our month, at different points in our lives. We have to all get through that at some point. At many points in your business, it's a job that has to be done. These jobs have to be done to keep the lights on. And it's essential to accept it, do it, and do it well, and grow your business, and then use that freedom and resources and money you've made to then go and do other work that really does feed the soul. Kim, thank you so very much for that. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com. Check it out. Get on the email list. I've started writing my Sunday newsletters, and they're going quite well, I'd say. I'm quite happy with the feedback I've been getting the last couple of weeks, and I've just been, I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of on a roll right now with them. It's feeling good. So yeah, you should get on the email list, because that's the only way to get them every Sunday. That's where they're coming, and I think you'll like it. So hacktheentrepreneur.com. There's many places to sign up. and you can get different things if you want to download as well. And then ultimately, you're going to end up with that newsletter. That's just the way it rolls. Also, if you're on an Apple device, I would love if you left me a review on iTunes. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/review will take you right there, literally to the page where you can just do it right now on your iPhone. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. I'll wait. There you go. Look at that. Right there. Leave a review. I would absolutely love it. If you can, and you're on Twitter, drop your Twitter handle in there. I would love to thank you. I would love to go onto Twitter and thank you. I unfortunately can't do that within iTunes, but I would like to do that. All right. This has been fun. Thank you so much for joining myself and Kim today. We both really appreciate it. And yeah, take care of yourself. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.